Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. And I have someone here in the studio who has done fairly extraordinary thing, as I understand, and that take part in a very long race. But first of all, let listeners know your name.
I'm Arian Sanderson.
Okay, Arian. And where do you normally live? Do you live in Palmer or somewhere else?
I live up in Hatcher's Pass.
Okay, know it well. Used to live up in Raleigh Hills back in the day, but moved into town. So Hatcher Pass is a very beautiful area. It's also, many ways, a rural area. I understand that you are a musher, is that correct?
Yeah, I run dogs.
Okay, how many dogs do you have?
We have 30.
Right 30 now. Dogs. We once had 3, and I thought that was a bunch, but 30, oh my. And if you don't mind revealing, how old are you?
I'm 15 turning 16 soon.
15 turning 16, okay. How long have you been mushing?
I've been running dogs since I was about 3 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay. So. Now, I lived in Nome for a while. And, of course, there are arguably more dogs than people in Nome. And I knew a bunch of mushers. That's where I, many years ago, I saw the finish of the 1978 race, which was absolutely incredible because you had two mushers coming to the arch. They were nose to nose, and one of them, one musher, collapsed into the sled, but the dogs kept going, and there was a great bit of silence. I was there, it was dark, it was cold, and they all turned and looked at the judge at that time to say, okay, what do the rules say about this? And so it was a moment, and then he said, well, it's when the nose of the dog goes under the arch. The musher doesn't have to. That's not it. Because the team passed through and then sort of passed him under the arch. That was an incredible introduction to mushing, my thought. But you're running another race. You didn't run the Iditarod, right?
No, I'm too young to run the Iditarod. So I do junior Iditarod, and that only 150 miles.
Oh, so. Only 150 miles. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Do you run any other races?
Yeah, I've ran like the Yukon Quest 80, which is up in Fairbanks. The Willow 100, that's always a really fun race to do. And then the Goose Bay 150, which I plan on running again.
Okay. Do you take care of these 30 dogs all by yourself, or do you allow someone else to help you?
I take care of them for the most part, but if I go like camping or something with family, my dad helps out a lot. So I couldn't do it without him.
Maybe for listeners who would be interested, I'm suspecting that, you know, many people I know have a dog or two, maybe three. But how much work does it take to care for 30 dogs?
It's quite a bit, but I've been doing it my whole life, so it doesn't seem too hard for me.
In any sense, like how many hours per day would it take to feed and whatever?
I mean, like when training and stuff, that takes up a lot of time. And since I'm in school, not homeschooled, it's a lot harder for me. But it's still a lot of work. And
so in the day, when do you typically, once the snow is down, do you train? First of all, let's go to the other question. Do you train year-round?
In the summer, my dogs go down to a glacier in Juneau, and they do tours down there. But when they come back, we start fall training almost right away.
And this last year was a really different. I know I spent a lot of time at GPRA, and this year was different snow as compared to others. Where do you typically train up here when you train?
So we have a cabin in Willow, and that's where I take my dogs for the most part. But this year was a little bit different since there was barely any snow near the end of the winter.
Right.
We ended up having a drive up to Eureka, and I got to meet a lot of mushers up there and had a great time.
Okay. So I understand this. I've interviewed many, many mushers, and I know there are training patterns. How did you design the way you train? Did you have someone who you might call a mentor that helped you to both get started and give you feedback?
I first started running dogs with Alan Eichens. He is an Iditarod musher. But then from recently, Riley Dyke has been helping me out a lot with all the knowledge he knows. And I work at Iditarod headquarters with him, so
Okay. Talk a little bit about your sled or sleds, because they're very interesting, especially what you put on the bottom of the runners. Anything particular that you do?
Well, I got a new sled from Sled Dog Systems. Okay. Last year, I worked all summer and saved up enough money to buy a new sled. And then reused gunners are made specifically for dog mushing.
Okay. So let's go back to the races. You're talking about a number of races. I have to ask the question, how well did you do?
I got sixth this year, and hopefully we'll do better this next coming year. I have 9 yearlings in my team that are going to be up in my main team next year.
All right. So when I have had conversations with people about the selection, particularly of sled dogs, there's a psychology of this, the relationship between you as a musher and the dogs, getting them to work as a team in particular. Do you have a particular thing that you do to make them become a team and, for that matter, to have a good leader?
For a lead dog, they have to have a lot of drive and focus to run up and lead, so the minority of dogs can run up there. So, and then, like, I just work a lot from puppies up to the age they are, just where they have a really good connection with you and...
Very good. Okay. So these races seem to be shorter in comparison to the Iditarod, but they still require you to camp overnight. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So how do you like that part of it, the camping overnight?
I don't mind at all. I'm really good at sleeping anywhere. So.
Ah, okay.
Nice part about
that. Very, very good. So if you were to give people who are listening, maybe there's someone, a young person, who thinks they would like to be involved with mushing dogs, what would be the advice you'd give them? How would you encourage them?
It's a lot of fun, a lot of work, though. A lot of responsibility, but a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
Okay, so be prepared then, it sounds like. This is not a simple thing. I know I've interviewed people who run dairy farms, and it's every day. you can't say, oh, I think I'll sleep in and won't milk those cows. Well, the same thing with dogs. I'm guessing that would be the case. So do you have your goal as to running the Iditarod, and when would you, what are the rules that would allow you to run?
So you can't run the Iditarod until you turn 18, so I'm planning on running it when I turn 18.
Okay.
Or maybe a little after, but planning on 18.
Okay, that's a plan. Do you know a guy by the name of Jeff Dieter?
Yes.
Okay. His father, for a long time, was associated with our radio station. I knew him. And Jeff, when I first met him, was a young guy, just getting into mushing. But my following his career, he went from, you know, he was able to complete the race, but now he and his wife both are up there in the top. But I think the reason why I mention him is because he's an example that when you first jump into the Iditarod, if you do it early enough with the idea that you're going to keep improving, then over time, with perseverance, that seems to happen. But you're really young enough to have a lot of years to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so I've asked you a lot of questions, and you've done a great job of describing your situation. Is there anything else you'd like to share with listeners about working with dogs or mushing and life you have there that you haven't said yet?
Well, I don't know. It's a lot of fun. The dogs, the way the dogs are gone, how they love it, is just the best part of seeing the dog click when they start running. And
yeah, I'm guessing that when I have watched teams, when they're getting ready to be hooked up and go, they are anxious to get on the trail. Is that your experience?
Yeah, they're really excited. And some dogs just, they have so much energy, they just go crazy. It's just amazing to see how these dogs love the sport so much.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to come in here on a beautiful sunny day in the summer. Not too much snow out there, but this is a good time to visit and also to share your experience with mushing dogs. So stay well out there.
Thank you.